Dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, the song we've just sang has made us look at what Jesus has done for us all the way to the future for when he comes back for us, bringing us back to the present time. How much he loves us and how we live for him as we wait for him to come back. And this is what we do whenever we come before this table of mercy and grace. It is a table of mercy and grace because we come not because we are worthy, but because our Lord Jesus Christ has died, was buried, and risen for us. And so if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, and you have expressed faith in Jesus through baptism, you've done it publicly, we welcome you to partake of this wafer and this cup, a reminder of our relationship, this intimate personal relationship our Lord Jesus Christ. However, if it's not clear to you what it means to be a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, or you've done that but you've not had the occasion to publicly express that faith, we ask that as the elements are passed before you, that you do not partake of it, but use this time to reflect on God's great love for you. And it's our prayer that very soon, even today, you'll receive Jesus into your life as Savior and Lord, and at your earliest opportunity, express that faith publicly through baptism. And we look forward to sharing this meal with you. We're going to do the liturgy today for communion. There will be parts where you'll be asked to stand and respond. So, welcome to the Feast of the Lord, all who are baptized and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are invited to join in this meal. We come to the table not just as individuals, but as a community. By sharing the bread and the cup, Jesus Christ makes us one with him and with each other. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord has prepared his table for all who love him and trust in him alone for their salvation. All who are truly sorry for their sins, who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and who desire to live in obedience to him as Lord, are now invited to come with gladness to the table of the Lord. At this point, let's just use a few moments to reflect on the past month, and as the Holy Spirit brings to our mind some of the ways we have neglected, ignored, or sinned against the Lord and against others, let us honestly confess our sins before the Lord. So let's just have a few quiet moments before the Lord. I will continue now with the invitation. As we come to the table as repentant sinners, Christ wants to assure us of his forgiveness. As we come with our struggles, Christ wants to assure us of his living presence. As we come with our doubts, Christ wants to touch us with the flesh and blood reality of his life. Let's now stand and say the thanksgiving responsively. Please rise. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. All honor and praise be yours always and everywhere, O Lord our God, through Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord. On this Holy Communion Sunday, we celebrate your glory made present in our midst. In the waters of baptism, Jesus was revealed as the Christ, the Savior sent to redeem us. In the water made wine, the new creation was revealed at the wedding feast. Poverty turned into riches, sorrow into joy. Therefore, with all the angels of heaven, we lift our voices to proclaim the glory of your name and lift our joyful praise to you. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Please be seated as we ask the elders to come to the front. We give thanks to God the Father that our Savior, Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again. At his Last Supper, the Lord Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, after the meal, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again." Join our hearts in prayer. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. And once again, we give thanks for your great love that led you to send your one and only Son to come into our world, to live a sinless life, and to willingly offer his life as a sacrifice. Help us not to take this for granted, the great price you paid for us, but help us remember always that when we fail and when we sin, to come back to you, to confess our sins so that you can forgive our sins, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, and allow us to live for you, broken, flawed people, yet showing others of your love and your grace in our lives, and the hope we have that you will one day come for us, your beautiful bride. Thank you for the work you're doing in us. As we spend time with you now, speak to our hearts and remind us once again how precious and loved we are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night in which our Lord was betrayed, after he gave thanks, he passed the bread to his disciples. Our Lord Jesus said, "This is my body given for you. Eat it in remembrance of me." Let's eat the bread together. In the same manner, after the meal, after he had given thanks, Jesus passed the cup to his disciples. Our Lord Jesus said, "This cup is my blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink the cup together. Let's pray together once again. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Today's scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 14 to 21. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely, this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were headed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mike, for reading the scripture for us. This morning, we are delighted to have Scott and Kyoko here to share about their work in Japan. They are team missionaries, and they have been serving the Lord just on the outskirts of Tokyo. And so they're going to share with us and bring the message. They have two grown daughters. They're both back now in Canada. The oldest is final year of training to be a school teacher, and the next one is just two, three years after her. So, Scott, you go.
Well, good morning. Ohayou gozaimasu. Minna o genki desu ka? Is everyone well today? We can surely rejoice in the Lord Jesus, can't we, today? Well, it's just a delight to be back with you again and just to personally share with you how the Lord has been working in hearts of the people we're ministering among in Japan. Thank you for your faithful prayers for us and without which this ministry would not be possible. As Pastor David was saying, we're also delighted to be back to spend time with our daughters who have been back in Canada for a number of years now. Pastor Dave mentioned that our eldest daughter, Rebecca, she's actually teaching in a Christian school in Ladner. And she just finished her first year, and so just a big learning curve for her. And then our youngest daughter, Marcy, just graduated from UBC the 22nd of March, and she's kind of following in the footsteps of her older sister and will be transitioning into Trinity Western's teacher certificate program in the fall. So thank you for having prayed for them as well. It's neat to see how the Lord leads in the lives of our children as well. And the challenges that brings, isn't it, in turning our kids over into the hands of the Lord as they grow and become more mature and begin to rely on Him. Well, as Pastor Dave said, we're working in Northwest Tokyo, and we have been partnering with a Japanese church there, not too far from our home. And let's see if I can. Do I press the right arrow, or this one here? Okay. Oh, this here, the trigger. Okay, great. Got a trigger here. This is a very small church that we're working with. It's about 10 members. Most of them are seniors. So it's our hope and prayer that through this cooperation with them, that it will result mutual encouragement, shared vision, as well as the growth of both our ministries. The Kurumi Bible Church, as well as the area where we're starting, and Lord willing, would like to see a church started there. And this is Pastor Shimoda. Just a little introduction from him. Do I click it once more for that to start? Okay. Takes just a couple seconds to start up.
歴史は長いですけれども、教会は弱っていて、今は10人ぐらいの教会の方々、そのほとんどは高齢の方々ですけれども、毎週礼拝を持っています。 ネルソン先生ご夫妻のお働きを通して今その教会にたくさんの若い家族が集まり出しています。その方々が礼拝につながりイエス・キリストを信じる信仰に導かれますようにと祈っています。これからもお祈りをよろしくお願いします。
Thank you for having prayed for the members of our English Bible study. We have been working our way from creation through Christ through a curriculum called The Hope. And currently we have three ladies in attendance, Mrs. O, Mrs. K, and another Mrs. K, the only believer in our class who attends at another church near us, but learned of our English Bible study. We are greatly encouraged for these three ladies who continue to come regularly to our class. Mrs. O has continued to come for a number of years now, on and off, and then more recently, more regular attendance after the death of her 91-year-old husband. And she has... a great interest in English, but also in the Bible. And just recently, we've had the privilege to study the Bible together in Japanese, as the class is done predominantly in English, which was a great encouragement to us, and hope that this is a sign that she is close to trusting Christ as her Savior. And then Mrs. K, who lived in the States for 4 years, and she herself was quite impressed with the testimony and kindness of a neighbor who invited her to home Bible study, and she attended her church on occasion. But both of these ladies are wrestling with various issues, which is... holding them back from trusting in Christ at this point. It's interesting to know that both of these ladies had opportunities to hear the gospel at a very young age when they were in elementary school. After the Second World War, a large number of Japanese came under the sound of the gospel when General MacArthur called for 10,000 missionaries and 10 million Bibles to be sent to Japan. So it appears that the seed of God's word was planted in the hearts of these ladies many years ago. Last year, this is our grade 2 and 4 elementary English class. These kids have been coming to our home to study English since they were in kindergarten. And they especially enjoy the Bible time where they have been taking turns reading the kids' Bible aloud in Japanese. Once a month, we have a Superbook Bible animated video showing to these kids and to many of their friends from school. These kids really look forward to this time. And we know that God has specifically brought them, as you know, the kids themselves have invited other students, other friends of theirs to come, but they were unwilling, and yet this did not prevent them from losing interest in this time. Currently, the Superbook is being aired nationally on TV in Japan, so when you remember to pray for these kids, pray also for the impact that the Superbook video series will have on potentially millions of Japanese, young and old. Just in the next videos here, there'll be a number of our preschool, kindergarten, and elementary school classes. And in each of these classes as well, we have a Bible story time in Japanese. The kids really listen to the Bible being presented by Kyoko, And some of the parents who are close by are listening in, and so we're trusting that God will use this to work in their hearts as well.
Some saw grapes and clusters fall. She saw God was in it all. 10 were bad and 2 were good.
Throughout the year, we offer Easter, summer, and Christmas events to which we have further opportunities for kids to hear the gospel and their parents as well. On every first and third Sunday of the month, we have a meeting in our home. And we are pleased that the pastor of KBC brings the message every third Sunday and is in attendance when I preach on the first Sunday of the month. This kind of cooperation has been a great encouragement to us. And we hope to those who attend, one of them being Mrs. O and Kilko's mother. In April, we had our kids' Easter outreach in a local park. To which we invited the kids of our English classes and as well their families. And we had 32 kids come out this year. And we've had almost the same number of kids come the past 3 years. So it's just a great, it's really exciting for us to be able to share the gospel in this way. Video. Thank you. This is a picture of our English cafe that we had in October, and we're delighted to see three families come out from the students, the families of our students, as well as three individuals from the neighborhood. And as some of you may know, Kilko's brother was recently diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer and has been receiving treatment for that. Now through this difficult time, God has allowed us the privilege to share Christ with him and pray with him and his family, not a salvation prayer as yet, but to pray for him. Please continue to pray for his and Kilko's unsaved family for their salvation, and Lord willing for the healing of Kilko's younger brother. Why does the soil of the Japanese hearts seem so hard? As we look back on our last term, it seems that for the most part we are just planting the seed of God's word, but not seeing much fruit. Why does the soil seem so hard? And there may be a number of reasons, but we believe that one of them is that the Japanese do not have a true concept of the one Creator God, but There are said to be some 8 million gods, which is taught through the religious system called Shinto, which is the worship of nature. Japanese are also afraid of being isolated from community, family, and friends. And you may know that Japanese are a very group-oriented society. And so there's always a fear of things that will somehow drive a wedge into their relationships. And so they're very careful to be non-confrontational or to avoid things that would, for fear of separating them from such relationships. And that's true, that holds true when it comes to the gospel as well. Will this decision or will this interest ultimately separate me from family and friends? So these are some of the challenges that we face in Japan. And yet, behind all of this, we know that Satan is very hard at work trying to prevent Japanese from hearing the gospel and to keep them forever separated from Christ. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, knowing that faith comes by hearing and that by hearing the word of God." We need to be faithful in proclaiming the gospel in every situation. Yet at the same time, we really do need your prayer. So pray with us, pray for us that the Lord would help us to meet those who are truly interested in hearing the gospel, and that he would protect and flourish his work in the hearts of those we are ministering among. Pray too for God's continued work in the life of Kyoko's younger brother and unsaved family. Pray also for a significant amount of support shortfall that we need to raise while we're back in Canada. And again, for our daughters, that they would, both in their work and studies, continue to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for faithfully partnering alongside us in Japan. And you can switch the slide, show off. Thank you. You know, as we think about the challenges of ministry, the challenges and trials of life, we can ask ourselves the question, how do we respond to such changes, unexpected changes or challenges in our lives? And in today's passage that was earlier read, we learn how the disciples of the Lord Jesus responded to such conditions. In the previous verses, Jesus miraculously and completely fed more than 5,000 people with just 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And having just witnessed this incredible miracle by the Lord, the people there rightly recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, the long-promised Messiah of the Lord, and wanted to take him by force and make him king so that all their needs would be met. We also learn that the disciples, it seems, were probably in on the same thinking, and so Jesus quickly sabotaged this whole scenario before it could come any worse. If Jesus had become the kind of king that the people had hoped for, he of course would have had instant praise and could have easily destroyed the Roman powers and completely provided for their physical needs. However, Jesus was not on the path to earthly greatness. The glory would come later, But that would not come until he first went to the cross. And so Jesus quickly departed from the crowds before they could take him by force. And of course, we undoubtedly know that Satan was probably behind this whole situation. And to further frustrate the plan of the people, after a time of prayer, Jesus had his disciples get into a boat and travel back across the lake while he dismissed the crowds. Jesus then went back up into the hills again to pray. Though Jesus was fully God, yet he was also fully man, and therefore, like us, he could become tired. And of course, we know that this was the original reason why Jesus and his disciples took that time out to go to this out-of-the-way place. And yet Jesus also needed to communicate with God, his Father. Though Jesus left his Father's side and the glories of heaven to come to this earth, he daily sought to be alone, to fellowship with God in prayer. He also sought to know God's will and leading and receive the strength he needed to walk in it. But while Jesus was alone in prayer, we see a different story when it came to the disciples who began rowing across the lake. And it must have been not only a disappointing time after seeing this great, fantastic miracle with thoughts of Jesus becoming king and God's kingdom coming in, but also frustrating, and we soon see a very fearful evening as the winds began to whip up and the waves began to stir and rock the boat. And of course, in Mark's gospel, we read that the disciples were battling against these winds and waves until 3 or 4 in the morning. And yet we know that Jesus was also praying for the disciples. We don't know who it was among the disciples that saw Jesus first, but we read that in verse 19 it says, "They saw Jesus walking on the sea, coming near the boat, and they were frightened." In Matthew and Mark's account of this lake crossing, it says that they thought it was a ghost that was approaching them. Although there are no such things as ghosts in the sense that of spirits coming back from the dead, demons masquerading as those who have died make it look as though someone has done so. When I was in working in Morioka as an English teacher, the school there was being renovated, and three carpenters happened to come in just then. And I said to the first carpenter, "Totemo kirei ni narimashita ne. The place looks really, really nice since you guys have been working on it." Immediately, the carpenter, one of the carpenters, threw up his hands, and he said, "I can't understand I can't understand English." And right away, his fellow carpenters said, "You idiot! He was speaking to you in Japanese." So it seems that this first carpenter, he did not recognize that this foreigner could speak Japanese, and so he just completely blocked it out of his mind. And I think that's kind of what we see in the lives of the disciples, that in the feeding of the 5,000, they totally missed his sovereignty. And so when they saw him walking on the water towards them, they could never imagine that this was the same Jesus that they knew. And so what was Jesus doing throughout this whole situation? In December of 2017, while still in Japan, friends of ours forwarded a letter from ICBC and the Ministry of Public Safety, And it was actually a drug impairment charge that was given to me. But I was innocent of this whole thing. And what had happened was that the police, when they were processing the file, the person who had committed the crime actually had the same exact name as mine, including the middle name. And somehow all of his crimes got transferred onto my file. And this generated a letter from ICBC. And so, you know, initially when this came to me, I began to think, you know, well, did I do something like that? You know, did someone see me drive crazily or something like that and reported it, and somehow I got whipped up into this crime? And so, you know, over the weeks, it took almost 2 years to solve this thing, to transfer everything back to the actual perpetrator. But you know, the Lord used this in my life to teach me about a number of things in my life that were really dishonoring to God, and yet you know, I could not see I could not see or believe that God was using it. So this was from God using it in my own life, and I think that's what we see in the lives of the disciples. They did not recognize their own master. To walk on water, one would have to be God, sovereign over the laws of nature. Yet Jesus had just fed more than 5,000 people with just these few things. And but for Jesus, it was being God. It was a simple thing for him to walk on the water that he created. Like the disciples, we can easily disassociate the Lord Jesus from what is happening in our lives and not see him in our trials, that he is using and allowing these very things to discipline us and to transform our character into greater Christ-likeness and to align our thinking with the truth of his word, as the sister this morning spoke about in terms of anger. In Psalm 119:71, it says, "It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your decrees." And we are all very familiar with the words of Hebrews 2:11, which says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Well, we know that Jesus' intention was not to strike fear into the hearts of his disciples, but to transform their lives and to use this whole situation to hone their thinking along the lines of his word, and to see his glory and to increase their faith. And we learn here that Jesus is the great I Am, God himself, the self-existent one, the eternal one who existed from eternity, the only one who can, the winds and the waves could obey, and the only one who could transform our lives and as the only source of help, comfort, and strength. The one who can bring calm to our loneliness, worries, and fears. And so we see in the remainder of this passage that in another miracle, the Lord brought them quickly to the opposite shore, no matter how much distance was left between them and the shore. Today we learn that though Jesus may seem far away in our darkest hours or storms of life, he is near and knows exactly what we are going through. and even prays for us in them. Though the disciples did not immediately recognize it, Jesus actually demonstrated his love for them by sending them away when he did, into the storm that came upon them. His desire, as I said earlier, was that their faith might be strengthened. If he had not, they would have been caught up in the false thinking and actions of the crowd. We also learn that Jesus brings blessing and calm into our lives when we recognize that he is the only source of help. And that's what we see was true of the disciples. It was only after the disciples invited Jesus into the boat that the winds and waves calmed. And so we need to ask ourselves, whom or what do I seek as my source of help when the storms come? Although the disciples did not always understand what Jesus did and taught, as when they missed his sovereignty over nature in the multiplication of the loaves, they still loved the Lord Jesus and knew him as their Lord and Savior. If you are here this morning and don't know him as your Lord and Savior, what is preventing you from inviting him into the boat of your life and recognizing him as the one who can bring calm to your life, transformation to your life? Only Jesus has the power to bring us true peace and blessing. All of us will die one day and give an account before God. However, if we have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior, though we have sinned against him by rejecting him, the Lord Jesus will be like a lawyer for us, declaring to God that his death, burial, and resurrection fully paid for all of our sins. Where we were once enemies of God, alienated from him, we have peace with him through Jesus Christ. And that peace results in true peace of mind and the confidence that one day we will live with him forever. Even as God, Jesus, while on earth, recognized his need to pray to God his Father and spend much time in prayer with him. In the same way, we need to spend much time in prayer with the Lord, even in those moments when we feel alone. Through daily prayer and time spent in the study of God's word, God will grow our faith in him and give us the strength we need to face and overcome our trials. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, this week we pray that you would help us to consciously spend time in fellowship with you and in the study of your word. Thank you for that your promise that you will be with us always. We give you thanks and praise in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Let's rise as we respond to the message. May we be always trusting that God will be faithful in everything he does.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. Keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where You've never failed, and you won't start now. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you
call.
My soul will rest in your embrace.